Just got a few words that he wants to say. Brother Jason, born in Grenada and going as a missionary to Zimbabwe, Africa. And a lot of HIV, you made that clear in your testimony. I want you to know you've been a real servant in the last few months with us, and we appreciate you. You go ahead.
Good evening. Good evening, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I've been a blessing being here for the past couple of days, and I want to, on behalf of all the missionaries, thank you for your wonderful accommodation and your kind hospitality, each one of us here, and thank you for all of us to be here to share our burden to you, and we praying for you, and pray for us, and thank you again for all that you have done for us, and may God bless you and use you in a great way for the new year. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you, Brother Jason. We got to hear from him during our Wednesday, I think, and Friday services there. Might have that not exactly right, but appreciate him so much and all the missionaries that we've gotten to hear from this week. They've been a blessing to us. And my dad had the idea this. We were talking after the service this morning, since we have heard from all of our missionaries this week that have been in conjunction with the Helps Ministries and with our missions conference, that we have some folks we want to hear from tonight. Now, here at Landmark, the Lord allows us to do a lot of things, a lot of opportunities for ministry, and one of the things we have, of course, is our Bible college, where we train young folks, and some of them come right out of our church, but many of them come from different places, and we have quite a few students in our college, in our Bible college, that are actually missionaries' children. And we thought maybe we'd hear from a few of them tonight, and that'd be a blessing. They won't have real long testimonies. I'm sure there's much they could say from their life, their growing up, their experiences, the things they've seen the Lord do. But we are going to hear from a few of them tonight, and missionary children, even some that are, I guess we could call nationals, that are over here getting their training, going to go back to the place where they were born, and their family, and the people they know, and the places they grew up, and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and establish churches and schools and all the kinds of things the Lord would have for them to do. So we'll just, I guess, I don't know if I'll kind of go in order here on the sheet here, but first up, we'd like to hear from Brother Ricardo Lees, and he's, I think he's, and they can tell you a little bit more, of course, but I believe he's a senior here with us here at Landmark Baptist College, and of course, he's from the Bahamas. So Brother Ricardo, you come up here, and you share with us for a few minutes tonight, and we'll hear from a few others after Brother Ricardo gets done. God bless you, brother.
Good evening, church. My name is Ricardo Lees, and I'm from Nassau, Bahamas. And the Bahamas is made up of 700 islands, and 35 of them are inhabited. And out of those 35 islands, four of those islands have a fundamental influence of the gospel. And out of those four islands, we have two of those islands who have a Bible-believing church, a Bible-believing churches inside those islands. And it was 17 years ago, a missionary from Helps Ministry by the name of T.J. Tilley, he came to the Bahamas, and he started a church called Liberty Baptist Church. And he was preaching, and he led my father to the Lord. And his wife led my mother to the Lord. And his daughter was able to lead me and my little sister to the Lord. So as I look at the mission conference that we're having here at Lamar Baptist Church, it is needed. Because I'm a fruit of missions from even Helps Ministry. I'm a fruit of Helps Ministry here tonight. So as I look at it, it's very important for us to go. And it was because of that desire that a missionary had, T.J. Tilley, to start a work inside Liberty, started a work inside Nassau, Bahamas. And as I look at it, I'm here training to go back inside my country and witness and spread the gospel. So I'd like for this church to continue to pray for Nassau, Bahamas, to continue to pray for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, all those 700 islands, that my church and all the rest of the churches be able to go and spread the gospel out there. And we'll continue to pray for y'all also.
Amen. All right, thank you, Ricardo. And Ricardo's a blessing. If you've gotten to know him, you know that. And I've gotten to know him working with the college a little bit here the last couple of years, and he's a blessing. And there's a lot to Ricardo, and the Lord's going to use him. And I mean that in a good way. A lot of depth there, more than meets the eye there. A lot of depth there, and his wheels are turning upstairs is what I meant to say, okay? And I appreciate Ricardo very much, and the Lord's going to use him in a wonderful way in the future. And let's hear from some more tonight. Let's hear from... Miss Lois, we know her from ministering to us in song and on the piano and in our college group and all those things, but let's hear from Lois Ruskina from India. She is a missionary's daughter also. All right, Lois, God bless you.
Hi, my name is Lois, and I'm a missionary daughter from India, and I'd like to say that being a missionary kid was the best thing that God ever could have done for my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. The Lord just taught me so much about people and how to love people and to look at people as not just somebody else, but as a soul that needs to be reached. And being in India, I've been able to learn so many things and learn about a different culture and learn a different language. And God has just blessed me so much. I'm too blessed beyond words. And I've watched him work in amazing ways. The ministry there has right now 15 churches. And my dad has founded a Bible college that through that he desires to evangelize India. And it's possible through the nationals by training them. We can't go out to all of the places, but the nationals can. And if they're trained properly, they're being trained just like we are here at Landmark Baptist College. They're being taught the same things. And it's just such an exciting thing to watch the Lord working in their lives and seeing how grateful they are to have the gospel and to be able to take it to their people. So thank you for supporting us, supporting the college, and making it possible for people like us to continue on. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. Appreciate that very much. I'd like to ask Braille to come up at this time. Braille's from the Philippines. And let me see if I can say his last name right. Dugian? Okay, just that's exactly how I said it, right? Much better than my dad would have said. Come on, Braille. All right? God bless you, brother.
Mabuhay. I'm from the Philippines. My name is Braille Dugayan. I was born in a Catholic family, but thank the Lord that I was able to know the Lord through personal soul winning. My aunt win me to the Lord. And now here I am in front of you, and I thank the Lord for putting me into the ministry, because I dreamed to become famous, but the Lord has his own way for me, has his own plan for me. Now he has been using me in the Philippines to win souls, and I have a vision and I have a dream, and it's only God can do that. I cannot do it, because I desire to win millions of people to Jesus Christ, and one day the Philippines is still 80 million of them are going to hell, and not only the Philippines, is also in Asia, and wherever the place will lead me, I desire and I ask the Lord's help, because he has the same Holy Spirit that Paul has, and all the forefathers that we have, they have the same Holy Spirit that is in with me. And the Lord God said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's the only thing that I can give to my life, is to give my life for other people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Braille. That was very good. Appreciate that very much. Brother James Morgan, he is the son of Brother Jim Morgan. And there, I think many of you would know him, a missionary family sent right out of our church here. And so I asked James to come up here at this time, his missionary family over in Romania.
Hey. Like he said, most of you, a lot of you know my family. My name is James Morgan. My dad's Jim Morgan. We were over in the country of Romania since we got there in the year of 1995. We've had a couple furloughs since then, but God has allowed us to work with many other missionaries as we were there, and we've started a couple churches. Right now, the ministry we're working in, we've been in since 2001, and it's growing, and many of you know the Boyles have also joined us over there, and they also have two other ministries they've started and taken over from another missionary. So God is blessing, God is providing help for us over there. Just like Lois was said, I would not trade having grown up as a missionary for anything in the world. It's given me an understanding of what it's like in another country, in the different cultures of the people. But I've also learned to see them. Romania is a third world country. They're poor. But I've learned to see beyond that, not their need of food and housing, but their need of Jesus. Many of the problems we have are self-inflicted. So the answer for them is Jesus. I pray that as a church, we would continue praying for our missionaries and encourage them any way we can, anytime they come by. Amen. Thank you.
All right, we have a young lady here named Ching, and she's from India, if I read that right, and I could ask her to come up here at this time and speak to us for just a little bit, and then I think we have maybe one or two more.
Hello everyone, my name is Ching Naulak. I'm from India, that is the northeast part of India. And our forefathers were animists, they worshiped spirits and anything they're scared of. But in 1906, missionaries from England came to India and reached our people, not exactly our people, but to our neighboring state, and two local people got evangelized and they came to our people. We do not even know how to get dressed. Our forefathers even do not know how to wear clothes, but they taught us all that when the gospel came to us. And it actually, the gospel actually reached us in 1910. And this year we're celebrating the centenary, and our church is sending out missionaries to neighboring states in India, like Arunachal Pradesh, and among the people. We actually live with the Hindus in the same state. They do not know Christ, and it's very, we are doing all that we can, so we really need a prayer. The church is all doing all that we can to reach out all the Hindus that are living in and around us. So please continue to pray for missions in India too. Thank you.
Think about that. They're celebrating 100 years of the gospel coming to their people, and what that's a blessing, but I guess you could say part of the problem with us is the gospel came to us more than 100 years ago, so we've gotten over it by now. That's the problem with America for the most part today, and that's the shame, the apathy that's set in with us. And I've heard preachers, I've probably quoted this before, but I've heard a preacher say this before, some of the problems with some of us believers is we've just been saved too long. And we forgot what it's like not to be saved, and all the destruction that comes from a society that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You heard what she said. Missionaries taught them more than just about Jesus. They basically allowed Jesus to civilize that society. And there wouldn't be any civilization without Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. Well, we have Hannah Andrews and her family as missionaries to Papua New Guinea. And can you speak Papua New Guinean? You can? The word for husband in Papua New Guinea is man belong me. Okay? I know that. All right. Is that right?
Yes, okay. Sir. My name's Hannah Andrews, and my family's been missionaries to Papua New Guinea. It's been about 10 years now. My dad surrendered to missions when I was 6 years old, so we went to Papua New Guinea when I was 10, so I grew up on the mission field, and as Lois and James have both said, I would not trade being a missionary's kid for anything in the world. It's been a great experience and has opened my eyes a lot to just how different people live in their cultures, and also the need there is in different countries for the gospel. And I just want to thank Landmark Baptist College for being here, to where I can come here and where there's a strong doctrine, and I can train for the ministry more. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, students. Praise God. That's something I wanted them to share with you a little bit. And we could go a little further, and we probably will here one of these nights. But just to get us all to see the big picture. See the need. Brother Scotty did such a fabulous job of telling us about what he'd seen personally and the great need this morning. And I believe this with all my heart. God blesses a church that cares about sending the gospel out, don't you? That's our job. I mean, I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd here for just a little bit, just a few remarks. But you understand, when Jesus went back to heaven, he left us something to do. He didn't save us to just sit and soak. If you sit and soak, you'll sour before long. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm afraid we've moved into the sour spell and attitude too many times. Nothing in the world excites any of us any more than to see somebody else genuinely saved. And when we lose that, we'll lose our excitement. When we lose the care to see souls saved, we'll lose that excitement. And as we kind of sum up things, I want you to look at one verse in Acts chapter 1. I want you to remember what the setting is. It's after the resurrection. Jesus has ascended back, I believe, to put the blood on the mercy seat. But he's back, and he's been back now 40 days. He's been seen by all the believers that he exposed himself to, the 500 at one time, Paul said. And now he's going back to heaven when we get into Acts chapter 1. And yet he's told them at the end of Matthew, at the end of Mark, at the end of Luke, we read where he's told them to preach the gospel to every creature, to go into all the world. Then he summarized it again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And so it was close to his heart for us to carry the work on. to let the redeemed say so, as we heard in song tonight. Now, in the book of Acts, we see that happening. Acts is somewhat a little bridge between the Gospels and the epistles. As we get deeper into the knowledge of God's plan, it's in the book of Acts that Paul gets saved. A very educated man that God saved to do a work, and he did a work. No missionary like the Apostle Paul. And he got the gospel around the world, and had he not done that, you and I would not be here tonight to save people. And we recognize that. Sometime we get to thinking that maybe the English world is, maybe speaking of ourselves, that we were sort of born saved, but we were not. We were just as heathen as any other tribe on this earth. And if you don't believe it, read some of our deep history back there. Read a book by Winston Churchill that'll tell you how the tribes on the island of what we call England, how crude and evil they were. How they went out, and you read the wars between the Saxons and the others and so forth, and you read when they went into battle, one of the things that was to prove the macho of the warrior was to kill the enemy, crack his skull off, use it as a cup, catch his blood, and drink his blood in it. Didn't sound too civilized. That's our forefathers. You heard some of these young folks talk about civilization coming with Jesus. Yes, it did. And without him, it hasn't come. That's what it amounts to. And as you look around and see where the gospel spread around the world, you'll see that civilization followed it. You want to know what's the matter in America? Heathenism is following now, taking over, because the gospel's being replaced. The truth of Jesus is being lost. And that's our problem today. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, Jesus is about to go now. In fact, he has gone in verse 9. It says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now, there's one word that we need to pick up that I want to just say this little bit about, the word why, verse 11, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? Now, that could be asked us tonight. Why do we keep looking at heaven and standing, as it were, in one spot, not getting the job done? The angel showed up and said, hey, he don't want you to just look up there. He wants you to get busy and do what he told you to do. And that was to get the gospel to the whole world. And as you go through the book of Acts, you see that that's what took place. They were scattered abroad. They went preaching. And yes, they were persecuted, but that didn't discourage them. They just kept going. Somebody said in the book of Acts, Jesus went up. The Spirit came down. Saints went out, and sinners came in. That's exactly the way it worked. I mean, man, when Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit, as was promised, came down on the day of Pentecost. And then through the Acts of the Apostles, through the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as we go through the book of Acts, we see that the plan that the Lord Jesus left was being carried out. And one after another saved, and the mighty work that happened. And you saw sinners coming in. I mentioned Paul. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. He came in, and God used him in a mighty, mighty way, didn't he? And that's still the plan. It's still the plan. We're not, and I'm as bad as anybody to be looking for Jesus to come, but I'm not supposed to be just looking up for him to come. I'm supposed to be looking around, seeing the need, getting the job done that the Holy Spirit, who is in us that are saved, will use us to tell others. That's God's plan. That's what missions is all about. And when we'll do that, when the saints will go out, Where'd the saints go out? All the way through the book of Acts. The Bible says in Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hey, they didn't have to wait to Thursday night for a visitation program. Now, I'd be real happy if we just did it on Thursday night like we ought to. I mean, number-wise. But it's daily. Daily in every house, it said. Daily when the opportunity gives itself to speak for the Lord Jesus. That's the command. And they did that in the book of Acts. They were witnessing. When the saints went out, the sinners came in. And that's still God's plan. Do you understand that sinners are never commanded to come to church? Lost people are never commanded to come to church. Saved people are supposed to rally here and go out and get them. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's God's plan. Now, that's local around here, the highways and hedges, but it's the foreign field, too. It's everywhere we can get the word. And isn't it amazing, as we hear these testimonies tonight, how God has taken this church, smallest church in town when we came here 40 years ago, and he's built up a ministry that's reached around the world and missionaries here and there, and we don't even know the half of it. We won't know the half of it till we get to heaven. We won't know what it's meant that folks gave sacrificially to missions. Only heaven's keeping score. We can't tell yet. But I do believe it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time to get up there and find out things we don't know. I told this to the college students, and I'll tell you, maybe you saw it. Heaven's going to hold some real wonderful surprises for us, things we didn't know down here. Other morning on the Fox News channel, just for a little bit, there was a father and son showed up. Little boy, I don't know how old he was. He wasn't very old. I'm going to guess at the time of the other morning, maybe he was 8 years old. I'm just guessing. But apparently when he was much younger, maybe four, five, he had major surgery. And he died in the surgery. And they brought him back. That happens on occasion. But afterwards, and after he healed up, and after he was strong, and the parents began to notice things he was saying and realize, here's something that's different. And he was talking about heaven to them, that he went to heaven. And he said, they asked him what he saw. Here's what he said, and this was on the news. I mean, they had a short spot. I wish they'd had longer. This was on the news. And there is one or two Christians here and there in the news staff. They're rare, but there's a few. And I think maybe a couple of them might have been saved that morning that was talking to him. Anyway, ask him what he saw. And he said, well, I was looking down, and Daddy was in another room, and he was talking to God. And Mama was in another room, and she was on the phone talking to some of the family, somebody. Now, he couldn't have seen that because he was in the surgery room. He didn't know where they were. He was under sedation. He saw that. Then they kept asking him some things. And he told them, he said, do you know that I saw John the Baptist? And do you know that he's a cousin to Jesus? And I saw Jesus, and Jesus has a horse. You ought to see the horse Jesus has. You say, that couldn't be. Well, you ever read Revelation 19? Yeah, he's got a horse. But he said, Mama, do you know that I have a sister? I have an older sister. She said, honey, what are you talking about? He said, well, she came up to me in heaven and told me she was my sister, and that she hugged me and kept just hugging me. And he said, she told me that she died when she was in my mama's tummy. Now, the mother said, my little boy never knew I had a miscarriage before he was born. We'd never talked to him about a miscarriage. I thought it was pretty good on the news program. There's a soul in that tummy before it's ever born, amen? One that God keeps up with, amen? I'm saying when we get to heaven, we got some surprises. One thing he said I liked real much. That's not good terminology, but I liked it. He said, there's no old people up there. That's what he said. I wish we could have heard a little more of it. But you know what? You say, oh, you know, he was just doped up. Uh-huh. Yeah, you just take it any way you want to. There's a real heaven. Amen. Folks that have gone on ahead, we're going to see them. We got loved ones up there, and we're going to meet results of the mission field in heaven. We're going to have some pleasant surprises. As we look at that gauge tonight, it's scary to me because I know the conditions that are existing. I know we got a long way to go between now and Watch Night service. 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and we'll be totaling up. And I don't want to miss the goal. I'm trusting God for it, but I'm also praying much about it. And tonight we'll see what we're going to do on a new goal. But we've got to reach that one too. And it's all about souls, folks. It's just about what Jesus told us to do when he left. Not just why you're standing here. There's a big job to be done. Don't just gaze. I want Jesus to come, but I'm not going to get any credit for just watching. I got to be serving God. I got to be busy about his cause. And I see Stephen's referred to it, Scotty this morning, wonderful message this morning. He talked about the lack of concern with the Laodicean church. And I see apathy. I see it in our own congregation like I don't think I ever remember seeing it. Just a coldness. Just a lukewarmness. I know some of you, and I'm talking to folks on the radio now, not just you that are here. Thank God you're here. But some of you are hurting in body. I know that. Some of you don't have the energy you used to have. I know that. Also, I know it's a little easy for you to say, I just don't feel like coming to church. I'll turn on the radio or watch them online. That's okay if you genuinely can't make it. But folks, when you can make it, we need you. We need you here, and the church needs you. It's a strengthening to all of us, and it's a strengthening to the whole program, and it's a strengthening to get the gospel around the world. And I hate to say it, but a lot of folks that'll stay home will also keep their offerings home, and that's sad, but it'll happen. Well, I'm a tither. Well, I want to say to you, great, wonderful, you should be. You ought to be a tither, and you ought to be even a giver above your tithes. But on top of all that, the tithe is not just God's when it's put in the offering plate. It's God's while it's in your billfold. And while that might be a little crude to some of you, it's truth. It's the tithe belongs to the Lord, the scripture says. Now, the whole thing is, as we see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25, that day is an evil day that's approaching. Boy, it is. But as the more we see it approaching, the closer we ought to get together as a team. And the more we ought to pull the same direction, and the more we ought to want to get that last soul reached before the trumpet sounds. Our skit's been going on the auction of souls. We're going to have the concluding of the skit tonight. We've had 3 nights of it. They're going to come on, and I guess he's got some folks with the lights and stuff. And I'm going to step down here for just a minute so I can watch it. And I want you to stick with us on the skit, because it's got a message. I want you to get the message tonight. It's the message of what missions is really all about, and that is souls. Amen.
We've met tonight for the final time to auction off the last soul to the highest bidder. As stated before, man is born and allotted a certain amount of time on this earth. It is given unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Once man passes away, he goes out into eternity, and his eternal destination is forever sealed. One by one, we've seen the souls come before us. One by one, we've seen the bids made. One by one, we've seen the transactions sealed. And one by one, we've seen those go out into eternity to experience everlasting joy or everlasting anguish. Who is the final soul to come before us today?
My name is Sandar. I live in Burma. We have many Buddhists in my country. We Buddhists have many different Buddhas that we worship in our pagodas in order to help us with different things. I believe in reincarnation. So if I am not good enough to get to heaven, I can come back as something or someone else and try again. I must say, though, that this cycle of rebirth does not bring peace to one's heart. Is there no one who cares for me?
Is there a bid for this soul?
I will gladly place my bid for the soul of this one.
Very well, proceed.
As I have said before, some have called me Beelzebub. Some have called me Baal. God called me Lucifer. And the Apostle Paul called me the God of this world. But I am none other than Satan. And though, as I've said before, I have tricked many into believing that I have a tail and that I have horns and I carry a pitchfork, such is not the case. In fact, my favorite trick is to turn myself into a minister of light or an angel.
Very well then, you may place your bid.
This is my bid for her soul. I will continue to blind her eyes so that she will not see that the only true rebirth comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will make her believe that she will eventually become a god herself. But that will be a lie. And she will wake up realizing that she is in hell and will burn forever and ever.
Who else would choose to bid for this soul? I ask again, who else will choose to bid for this soul?
Won't somebody, please, somebody.
This is your final chance.
Please.
Is there no one who will go?
Please, no, please, somebody please, no, no.
Going. Going! Gone. Forever.